News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pratik Ritsen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Monday said he spoke to United States President Joe Biden and conveyed his best wishes for the latter's success. Modi said they discussed regional issues and their shared priorities, while also agreeing to further cooperation against climate change. President Joe Biden and I are committed to a rules-based international order. We look forward to consolidating our strategic partnership to further peace and security in the Indo-Pacific region and beyond, Modi said in a tweet. Biden won the election against former US President Donald Trump last year. He took over the office formally in January in a fairly rocky transition amid allegations of voter fraud and the US Capitol riot, egged on by Trump. The first high-level engagement between the Modi government and the Joe Biden administration took place 2 weeks ago when US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke to Defense Minister Rajnath Singh and exchanged views on pressing regional and global issues, including developments in the Indo-Pacific. The Defense Ministry said Singh received an introductory telephone call from the newly appointed U.S. Secretary of Defense Austin and that the two leaders reaffirmed their commitment to work together to strengthen the multifaceted defense cooperation and the strategic partnership between the two countries. Official sources had said China figured in the talks in the larger context of geopolitical developments and in relations to the strategic interests of India and the U.S., in the Indo-Pacific region. The essence of the conversation was that both sides wanted to maintain the upward trajectory of the strategic and defense ties to advance their common agenda of peace, prosperity, and growth, the sources had said. In a tweet, Singh said the firm commitment to deepen India-US defense cooperation was reiterated during the talks. At least 26 bodies have been recovered and rescue teams have launched multiple operations to search for those missing since the Nanda Devi Glacier burst early on Saturday, causing a flash flood in the region. At least 26 bodies have been recovered and rescue teams have launched multiple operations to search for those missing since the Nanda Devi Glacier burst early on Sunday, causing a flash flood in the region. According to Uttarakhand Disaster Management Center, 197 people are missing. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, BJP President JP Nadda, Union Home Minister Amit Shah, yesterday interacted with Uttarakhand MPs and discussed relief efforts and future course of action over the glacier disaster. Meanwhile, Uttarakhand Chief Minister Trivendra Rawat visited Joshimath again on Monday to take stock of the situation. A joint team of NDRF, SDRF and Army is conducting a rescue operation. The team has reached the 130-meter mark in Tapovan Tunnel. It may take 2-3 hours to reach the T-point. Efforts underway to safely rescue those who are stuck in the tunnel, ANI quoted Rawat as saying. A worker who was pulled out along with 11 others from another block tunnel by a team of ITBP personnel yesterday said, "We were working inside the tunnel when someone shouted, 'Move out!' Before we could leave, the water gushed inside at high speed and we got stuck. We held on to the tunnel crown until water levels subsided. We had lost all hope, but ITBP saved us." Currently, a joint team of the ITBP, Indian Army, SDRF and NDRF has mounted a massive rescue mission to breach another tunnel in Tapovan where 39 people, including plant workers and senior officials, are said to be stuck. The team had earlier managed to enter the tunnel but could only reach about 100 meters before they were forced to retreat as sludge and water blocked their way. This comes after a glacier break in Uttarakhand's Chamoli district resulted in an avalanche and huge floods in the Alaknanda and Dhauli Ganga rivers on Sunday morning, forcing the evacuation of thousands and damaging both houses and the nearby Rishi Ganga and NTCP power projects. Uttarakhand Chief Minister has announced a Rs 4 lakh compensation for the families of those killed. Rawat also said teams from the police, the army and the ITBP as well as from the National and State Disaster Response Forces were doing their best to save the lives of the workers at sites affected by the disaster. Over 170 labourers 148 of them employed at the NTPC plant and 22 at Rishi Ganga are said to be missing, a spokesperson said, while quoting the project in charge. The massive flood came as a grim reminder of the Kedarnath deluge of 2013, which led to widespread devastation in the ecologically fragile Himalayan region. A devastating natural disaster in the form of torrential rains of unseen magnitude had struck Kedarnath on 16 and 17 June in 2013. The banks of the Chorabari Lake in Kedarnath had collapsed due to a cloud burst that had resulted in a major flash flood, causing widespread destruction in Uttarakhand and led to heavy losses to infrastructure, agriculture lands, human and animal lives. However, unlike the Kedarnath tragedy which struck after a downpour, the flash flood on Sunday occurred on a bright and sunny morning, which helped in relief and rescue operations by police, State Disaster Response Force, National Disaster Response Force and ITBP personnel in the affected areas. Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Monday slammed those abusing, agitating Sikh farmers, saying it will not do the country any good, as he went on to appeal to the protesting farmers to call off their over 2-month-long stir, assuring them of continuing with the purchase of crops at an administered price or MSP. In the same vein, he also hit out at deleterious influences from abroad, referring to them as foreign destructive ideology, as well as a new breed of agitators, Andolanjivi, in the country who cannot live without a tumult. He dug out old statements such as one by his predecessor Manmohan Singh supporting farm reforms to allow farmers to sell their produce where they get the best price, saying the opposition parties had done a U-turn on their own words and they have not been able to give out reasons for the continuation of the farmers' agitation. Give the agriculture reforms a chance, he said while replying to a discussion in the Rajya Sabha on a motion thanking the President for his address to Parliament at the start of the current budget session. In an apparent reference to tweets by pop star Rihanna and Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg favouring the agitating farmers, Modi played on the term foreign direct investment or FDI to warn against deleterious influencers from abroad. I see that a new FDI has come to the fore. We have to protect the nation from this new FDI. We need foreign direct investment, but the new FDI is foreign destructive ideology. We have to protect ourselves from it, he said. He also hit out at some of the protesters, saying a new crop of agitators has emerged in India who cannot live without agitation, and the country should beware of them. There is a new crop of Andolanjivi. They live for protests. They look for ways to start a new movement. The country needs to be aware of these Andolanjivi, he said. The Prime Minister promised to continue with MSP-based procurement at the mandis as well as subsidized ration supply through the public distribution system to the poor. He indicated the government was open to amending the laws. We are ready to remove shortcomings, he emphasized. I assure you that mandis will be modernized, he said. MSP was there in the past, MSP is there now, and MSP will remain in the future. He also cited former Agriculture Minister and Maratha leader Sharad Pawar's support for agriculture reforms to buttress his point on the U-turn by the opposition. Those taking a U-turn will perhaps agree with him, saying whether they were able to do it or not, but everyone has advocated that it should be done, he said. Attacking the TMC, which his party BJP is challenging in the forthcoming assembly elections in West Bengal, Modi said he was left wondering if party MP Derek O'Brien, using phrases such as freedom of speech and intimidation, were for the country or his own state. He, that is Derek, sees all this in West Bengal 24 hours, so he might have thought that is how it is in the rest of the country too, he remarked. The farm laws are aimed at empowering the small and marginal farmers who make up for more than 2/3 of the farming community in the country and often do not benefit from loan waivers and other schemes as they cannot avail of credit from banks, Modi said. And Myanmar's new military rulers on Monday signaled their intention to crack down on opponents of their takeover, issuing decrees that effectively banned peaceful public protests in the country's two biggest cities. The restrictions were ordered after police fired water cannons at hundreds of protesters in the capital, Naypyidaw, who were demanding the military hand power back to the elected officials. It was just one of many demonstrations around the country. Rallies and gatherings of more than five people, along with motorized processions, were banned, and an 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. curfew was imposed for areas of Yangon and Mandalay, the country's first and second biggest cities, where thousands of people have been demonstrating since Saturday. Protesters in Yangon rallied on Monday at a major downtown intersection, raising three-finger salutes that are symbols of resistance and carrying placards saying, "Reject the military coup and justice for Myanmar." There were also demonstrations in towns in the north, southeast and east of the country. The decrees enabling the new restrictive measures were issued on a township-by-township basis and were expected to be extended to other areas as well. They say they were issued in response to people carrying out unlawful actions that harm the rule of law, a reference to the protests. The growing defiance was striking in a country where past demonstrations have been met with deadly force. That resistance was happening in Naypyidaw, where population includes many civil servants and their families, spoke to the level of anger among people who had only begun to taste democracy in recent years after five decades of military rule. "We do not want the military junta," said Dormo, a protester in Yangon. "We never ever wanted this junta. Nobody wants it. All the people are ready to fight them," he said. The coup came the day newly elected lawmakers were supposed to take their seats in parliament after November elections. The generals have said that vote was marred by fraud, though the country's election commission has dismissed that claim. State media for the first time on Monday made reference to the protests, claiming they were endangering the country's stability. "Democracy can be destroyed if there is no discipline," declared a statement from the Ministry of Information, read on state television station MRTV. "We will have to take legal actions to prevent acts that are violating state stability, public safety and the rule of law." However, the military commander who led the coup and is now Myanmar's leader made no mention of the unrest in a 20-minute televised speech on Monday night, his first to the public since the takeover. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.